Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman, remembered by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Sechus Nedarim, Daf Vav, the first parak, Kol Kanuye. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara challenges Abai's position that Yadayim She'em Mochichos Havin Yadayim, from a brace which states, if one says about an item, Harihu Alai, Hari Zeh Alai, it is hereby to me, or this is hereby to me, it's forbidden in benefit because it's a yon for a carbon, meaning a carbon-type vow. The Gemara infers that had he not said a lie to me, it would not take effect because it would be an inconclusive yad. After the first solution is rejected, the Gemara answers that the inference of the Braisa should be understood that had he only said this is hereby and not added to me, then the item would be forbidden not only to him, like in the case where he does say to me, but to everyone. De Dilmar Hayu Hektish Ka'amar, because perhaps he's saying it is hereby Hektish, which would forbid the item to all people. Since he has surely made a valid vow, and it's unclear if he intended to prohibit the item to just himself or everyone, we rule stringently. Point number two, Rapapa asked, Yesh Yad Kedushin or Lo? Are Yadayim effective for Kedushin or not? The Gemara clarifies that Rapapa was not asking about a case where a man was Mekadosh a woman and then said to the second woman, Vat Nami, and you as well, because that would be a complete expression of Kedushin. The Ron explains that even though it's not the standard formula, it's a full declaration. Only when the declaration leaves open the possibility of being interpreted as something else other than Kedushin, it's considered a yad. Rather, he was asking about a case where he said to the second woman, Ba'at, and you. Mi amrin ba'at nami amar l'chaverta? Do we say he was saying, and you too, to her friend, and the Kedushin would be valid as a yad? Or dilma ba'at chazai amar l'chaverta? Or perhaps he's saying, and you watch, to her friend, and the Kedushin would not be valid. The Ron explains that since there is another, albeit unlikely, interpretation to his words, it is merely a yad, and Kedushin would not be valid through a yad, even though it is conclusive. The question is left unresolved. And point number three, Rapapa further asked, Yesh yad lepeya or ein yad lepeya? Is a yad effective for peya or not? The Gemara again clarifies that if he had declared one patch of his field to be peya, and then said on the second, and this one too, that would certainly be a full expression of peya and would not be a yad. Rather, the question is where he said on the second patch, Vahadain, and this one. Tosfos explains that the other possible interpretation of his words is, and this one I retain for myself, thereby reducing the declaration to a yad, because we're speaking where this second patch is the last remaining in his field. The Gemara explains that Rapapa's question is, Mi amrin in kevin di iskishka karbanas? Do we say that since peya is compared to karbanas, as Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph will show, Ma karbanas yesh lem yad, a pe yesh la yad? Just as karbanas have the halacha of a yad, so too peya has the halacha of a yad? Or dilma, ki iskishka bal ta'achir di iskish? Or perhaps is only compared regarding the prohibition of bal ta'achir, do not delay, since the hekesh connecting peya to karbanas was regarding bal ta'achir, as the Gemara will proceed to demonstrate. The question is also left unresolved. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara challenges Abai's position, the Yadayim She'en Mochichos having Yadayim, from a brace which states, if one says about an item, Harihu Alai, Hari Zeh Alai, it is hereby to me, or this is hereby to me, it is forbidden in benefit because it's a yad for a carbon, meaning a carbon-type vow. The Gemara infers that had he not said Alai to me, it would not take effect because it would be an inconclusive yad. After the first solution is rejected, the Gemara answers that the inference of the Braisa should be understood that had he only said, this is hereby, and not added to me, then the item would be forbidden not only to him, like in the case where he does say to me, but to everyone. De Dilmar Hayu Hektish Ka'amar, because perhaps he's saying it is hereby Hektish, which would forbid the item to all people. Since he has surely made a valid vow, and it's unclear if he intended to prohibit the item to just himself or everyone, we rule stringently. Point number two, Rapapa asked, Yesh Yad Kedushin or Lo? Are Yadayim effective for Kedushin or not? The Gemara clarifies that Rapapa was not asking about a case where a man was Mekadosh a woman and then said to the second woman, Vat Nami, and you as well, because that would be a complete expression of Kedushin. The Ron explains that even though it's not the standard formula, it's a full declaration. Only when the declaration leaves open the possibility of being interpreted as something else other than Kedushin, it's considered a Yad. Rather, he was asking about a case where he said to the second woman, Ba'at, and you. Mi amrin ba'at nami amar l'chaverta? Do we say he was saying, and you too, to her friend, and the Kedushin would be valid as a yad? Or dilma ba'at chazai amar l'chaverta? Or perhaps he's saying, and you watch, to her friend, and the Kedushin would not be valid. The Ron explains that since there is another, albeit unlikely, interpretation to his words, it is merely a yad, and Kedushin would not be valid through a yad, even though it is conclusive. The question is left unresolved. And point number three, Rapapa further asked, Yesh yad lepeya or ein yad lepeya? Is a yad effective for peya or not? The Gemara again clarifies that if he had declared one patch of his field to be Peah, and then said on the second, and this one too, that would certainly be a full expression of Peah and would not be a Yud. Rather, the question is where he said on the second patch of Hadain, and this one. Tosfos explains that the other possible interpretation of his words is, and this one I retain for myself, thereby reducing the declaration to a Yud, because we're speaking where the second patch is the last remaining in his field. The Gemara explains that Rapapa's question is, Mi Amrin and Kevin de Iskishka Karbanas. Do we say that since Peah is compared to Karbanas, as Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph will show, Ma Karbanas Yeshlem Yad, a Peah Yeshla Yad? Just as Karbanas have the halacha of a Yad, so too Peah has the halacha of a Yad? Or Dilma, Ki Iskishka Balta Achiru de Iskish? Or perhaps is only compared regarding the prohibition of Balta Achir, do not delay, since the Hekesh connecting Peah to Karbanas was regarding Balta Achir, as the Gemara will proceed to demonstrate. The question is also left unresolved. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Dav Vav, and our standard Simmon is a sword because a Vav is straight like a sword. So here goes. The dramatic swordsman picked up a fierce-looking sword and shouted, Harai Zeb, but not a lie, making it Aser and all. Just after he was Mekadosh a woman and pointed the sword at her friend and shouted, Va'at, while the terrified friend tried to hide in the last remaining patch of a field, which was not clear whether it was declared as Peah. Once again in slow motion. The dramatic swordsman, that must be more Dav Vav. The dramatic swordsman picked up a fierce-looking sword and shouted, Harei Zeb, but not a lie, making it Aser and all, which reminds us, the inference of a brisa is that if one only said, Harei Zeb, this is hereby, and not added a lie to me, then the item would be forbidden not only to him, like in the case where he does say to me, but to everyone. To Dilmar Hu Hektish Ka'amr, because perhaps he's saying it is hereby Hektish, which would forbid the item to all people, since he has surely made a valid vow, and it's unclear if he intended to prohibit the item to just himself or everyone, we rule stringently. So the dramatic swordsman picked up a fierce-looking sword and shouted, Hare Zeh, but not a lie, making it Aser and all, just after he was Mekadosh a woman and pointed the sword at her friend and shouted, Va'at, which reminds us where Papa asked, Yesh Yad L'Kedushin Olo, are Yadayim effective for Kedushin or not? The Gemara says he was asking about a case where a man was Mekadosh a woman and then said to a second woman, Va'at, and you. Do we say he was saying, and you too, to her friend, and the Kedushin would be valid as a Yad? Or perhaps he's saying, and you watch, to her friend, and the Kedushin would not be valid. The Ran explains that since there is another, albeit unlikely, interpretation to his words, it's merely a Yud, and Kedushin would not be valid through a Yud, even though it is conclusive. The question is left unresolved. So the dramatic swordsman picked up a fierce-looking sword and shouted, Hare Zeh, but not a lie, making it Aser and all, just after he was Mekadosh a woman and pointed the sword at her friend and shouted, Va'at, while the terrified friend tried to hide in the last remaining patch of a field, which was not clear whether it was declared as Peah. Which reminds us, Rapapa further asked, Yesh Yad L'Peah or Ein Yad L'Peah? Is the Yad effective for Peah or not? The Gemara again clarifies that if he declared one patch of his field to be Peah, and then said on a second, and this one too, that would certainly be a full expression of Peah and would not be a Yad. Rather, the question is where he said on the second patch, which was the only remaining patch, V'Hadain, and this one. Tosfos explains that the other possible interpretation of his words is, and this one I retain for myself, thereby reducing the declaration to a Yud, because we're speaking where the second patch is the last remaining one in his field. So once again, the dramatic swordsman picked up a fierce-looking sword and shouted, Hare Zeh, but not a lie, making it Aser on all, just after he was Mekadosh a woman and pointed the sword at her friend and shouted, Va'at, while the terrified friend tried to hide in the last remaining patch of a field, which was not clear whether it was declared as Peah. All right, so now it's time for four blah back Chazara. Dav Beis. So the Simmer Dav Beis is a bias, a house. So here goes. The frustrated man who was not permitted entry into the Kinui house. That must be more on Dav Beis, bias. The frustrated man who was not permitted entry into the Kinui house, in which one was required to use substitute terms for Nedarim, Haramim, Shavuos, and Naziros, which reminds us that the mission begins, the Kinui Nedarim, Kinedarim, and the same applies for a Kinuim of Haramim, Shavuos, and Naziros. So the frustrated man who was not permitted entry into the Kinui house, in which one was required to use substitute terms for Nedarim, Haramim, Shavuos, and Naziros, because he forgot to list the two items that are in Isra Chevsa first, which reminds us, the Gemara explains the listing in order of all the Kinuim, and we learned that Haramim was listed second after Nedarim, even though Shavuos and Nedarim are written together in the Torah, because with Nedarim and Haramim, the person is being Oser the Chavetz on himself, the object on himself, whereas with the Shavuah, he is being Oser himself on the Chavetz. So the frustrated man who was not permitted entry into the Kinui house, in which one was required to use substitute terms for Nedarim Charamim, Shavuos and Naziros, because he forgot to list the two items that are in Israel Kepsa first, decided that he would give precedence and list examples of Yados before examples of Kinuim, which reminds the Mishnah's Mechus Mechusra missing text, and it should read Kol Kinui Nedarim Kinedarim, Yados Nedarim Kinedarim, and then afterwards present the examples of Yados Nedarim. Daf Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Gimel is a Gamal, a camel. So here goes. The camel driver, that must be more in Daf Gimel, Gamal. The camel driver who traveled far to clarify Yados Nedarim first because they were learned from a drasha, which reminds us that since Yados are derived through a drasha, the Tana explains them first. So the camel driver who traveled far to clarify Yados Nedarim first because they were learned from a drasha was so inspired when a Nazir told him that the Yados Nedarim rule was learned from a repetitive phrase by Nazir, which reminds us the source for Yados by Nazirus is from the double lashon of Nazir Hazir in the Pasuk, and we learned through a hekesh of Nazir to Nedarim that Yados also apply to Nedarim. So the camel driver who traveled far to clarify Yados Nedarim first because they were learned from a drasha was so inspired when a Nazir told him that the Yados Nedarim rule was learned from a repetitive phrase by Nazir that he declared, I will not leave this world without being a Nazir, and rush on his way, lest he violate Baal Ta'akhir, which reminds us, the application of Baal Ta'akhir to a Nazir is when someone says, Lo yipatu mina olam ad shehe Nazir, I will not leave this world without first being a Nazir. From that moment, he must be a Nazir because he must fear that any moment may be his last, and a delay would thus violate Baal Ta'akhir. Daf Dalad, so the Simmer Daf Dalad is a door. So here goes. The man who accepted his Naziris in the graveyard next to the doorman's plot with a tombstone shaped like a door. Doorman with a tombstone shaped like a door? That must be one Daf Dalad, Dalad, door. The man who accepted his Naziris in the graveyard next to the doorman's plot with a tombstone shaped like a door, which reminds us, the Gemara in this stuff begins by offering more ways that a Nazir can violate the Losasi of Baal Ta'akhir. The first is in a case where he accepts to be a Nazir in a graveyard. The Gemara clarifies that although the Naziris is effective despite the acceptance being in a graveyard, nevertheless, he is subject to Baal Ta'akhir Mishum Dekama Akhir Naziris to Tahara, because he's delaying the Naziris of Tahara. The second option is that the Nazir violates Baal Ta'akhir for delaying his shaving. So the man who accepted his Naziris in the graveyard next to the doorman's plot with a tombstone shaped like a door realized he was also going to be delayed in bringing his karbanis and transgress Baal Ta'akhir again, which reminds us. The Gemara offers a third option of how a Nazir could be over Baal Ta'akhir. He violates Baal Ta'akhir by delaying to bring his karbanis. The Gemara challenges this answer by asserting that we would not need to learn this from the Darim, as the Braisa did on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, because we already have a drusha that teaches that obligatory karbanis are included in Baal Ta'akhir, and the karbanis of a Nazir are obligatory. It answers, you might have said that the Torah taught a chiddush by Nazir, so perhaps Baal Ta'akhir does not apply to a Nazir. The Gemara provides two explanations of what the chiddush is. So the man who accepted his Naziris in the graveyard next to the doorman's plot with a tombstone shaped like a door realized he was also going to be delayed in bringing his karbanis and transgress Baal Ta'akhir again, and wish he had just said a simple neder such as, I am vowed from you in that which I eat of yours. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had given examples of Yados Nedarim, such as someone who says, Mudrani Mimcha, Mufreshani Mimcha, I am vowed from you or I am separated from you. Shmuel said, in all of these, it only applies when he adds that which I eat of yours or that which I taste of yours. He holds that the two sets of phrases in the Mishnah should be understood as two parts of a single case and not two separate cases. The Gemara clarifies what exactly did Shmuel mean. Daf Hey. So the Zimmer Daf Hey is hay or a haystack. So here goes. The two farmers baling hay. Hey, that must be one Daf Hey. The two farmers baling hay were forbidden to benefit from one another, because one said, Mudar ani locha, which reminds us, the Gemara revises Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's statement to read, if one says, Mudar ani locha, shneim asurim, I am vowed to you, they're both forbidden to benefit from each other. But if one says, Mudrani hemach, hu asur v'chavero mutter, I am vowed from you, he's forbidden to benefit from his friend, but his friend is permitted. So the two farmers baling hay were forbidden to benefit from one another, because one said, Mudar ani locha, after his friend inscribed the words, I am separated from you in a haystack, and he thought he meant, I will not do business with you, which reminds us. The Gemara concludes that Shmuel did mean to say that only if one adds the phrase, Shani och locha, is the vow effective. But if he only says, Mudar ani mimcha, I am vowed from you, the vow is ineffective. Here the Gemara explains that the reason is, L'mashma da'amar aser. It does not imply that he's saying a prohibition. The reason for this is, Mudar ani mimcha, I am vowed from you, can instead imply, I will not speak with you. Mufashani mimcha, I'm separated from you, can mean, I will not do business with you. The Ran explains that since the implication of his vow is not conclusive, no vow takes effect at all. So the two farmers baling hay were forbidden to benefit from one another, because one said, Mudar ani locha. After his friend inscribed the words, I'm separated from you in a haystack, and he thought he meant, I will not do business with you. When the friend was actually trying to win back his wife, who demanded that he give her an explicit get. Which reminds us, the Gemara records machlokes between Abai and Rav about yadayim she'ein mochikos, yadayim which are inconclusive. Abai says they are valid yadayim, and Rav says they are not. The Gemara asks that this dispute seems to reflect a machlokes tanaim regarding a get, for it stated in the Mishnah, gufo shel get ari muter zekol adam. The absence of a get is you are thus permitted to anyone. Rav Yehuda says the get must include v'din dehavi lichim inai sefer teruchim neger shivukin, and this will be yours from me, a document of expulsion and a letter of release. We see that Tanaim have already disagreed about how clear a partial expression must be for a valid get. The Gemara shows, though, how Abai can conform with even Rav Yehuda, and Rabba can conform with the Rabbanan. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do you want a nazir can be over Baal Ta'akhir by delaying to bring his karbanos? That's on daf Dalet. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you want that when one says Harezeh without saying Alai, it could be understood to mean that he's making the item hekdesh and usher to all? That's on daf Vav. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you want a nazir can be over Baal Ta'akhir by accepting his naziras in a graveyard? That's on daf Dalet. Good. Number 4. Which of them that Shmuel holds that if one said Mufushani Mimcha, I'm separated from you, it's not a good vow, since he could mean I'm not doing business with you. That's on Daf. Hey, good. Number 5. Which of them that one of the reasons the Tana explained Yados first is that it was taught from a drasha. That's on Daf Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which of them in a case where a Nazir could violate Baal Ta'akhir is when he said, I will not leave this world without becoming a Nazir. That's on Daf Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that Rav Papa asked the question whether there is a yud for kedushin or not? That's on daf Vav. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that Haramim was placed second after Nadarim in the Mishnah instead of Shavuos? Because both Nadarim and Haramim are in Isser Chepsa. That's on daf Beis. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn that Shmuel says that the two phrases of Mudrani Mimcha and She'eni Ochelcha have to be said together? That's on Daf Dalet. Good. And number 10. Which of the one that Rav Papa asked the question whether there's a Yad for Peya or not? That's on Daf Vav. Excellent. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.